This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Here on 1250 AM, The Fan, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. If you missed earlier, the announcement, Monday morning, 8 AM, we will be announcing and starting two more local shows, weekdays, here on The Fan. So we will have, as of Monday, three local shows every day here on The Fan. Tune in Monday morning at 8 AM. To find out what the two shows are. And the first show will start off as soon as we make the announcement and go right into their show on Monday morning at 8 a.m. So again, Monday morning, 8 a.m. Tell your friends, tell your family, tweet it out, tell everybody. Two more local shows added to the weekday lineup for The Fan starting Monday morning at 8 a.m. Joining us now, he is Eric Name, the Milwaukee Bucks beat writer for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Name. Eric, how are you?
I'm well, Sparky. It has been so long, and it is an absolute delight to talk to you.
Did you, I'm always curious about this, you and Ozarski. Do you all, when you get to the off season, do you all, like, take a breath, like, oh, okay, now I can take a little bit of vacation, I can relax a little bit, or is it still that high intensity, high energy, looking for the next story, doing that thing all year round?
I would say it takes until I leave Summer League in Las Vegas. When I leave Summer League, then I turn it off for about a month. And that's when I actually relax and calm down.
Makes sense. Yeah. Because, I mean, people don't understand beat writers. Well, I mean, the NFL beat writers, obviously they have a lot. I get that. But NFL and NBA, or NBA and MLB and hockey, the amount of travel and all the stories and everything else that goes along with it is a lot, Eric.
Yeah, I went to 82 basketball games last year. Actually, you got to add in playoff games and preseason games. So I think by the end of the season, it was over 100 playoffs, like over 100 games that I had covered and traveled to and attended and written about. So yeah, it's a lot.
That's wild. All right, so preseason game number one, we saw Damian Lillard, we saw Brooke Lopez, we saw Gary Trent Jr. I was doing the Green Bay football postgame show driven by Young Express, and we had it on here in the studios. And on the air, I was like, man, this offense looks good early right now with Lillard. It looks good. And I was getting excited, and then Gary Trent got hurt, and then I almost started crying. Your thoughts on kind of what they look like right now? I understand Doc really hasn't installed the offense the way he wants because he wants Middleton involved, yada, yada, yada. But what you saw Sunday night, what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Damian Lillard has been shy about telling people about his offseason. And not just his offseason this year, but his offseason last year, right? Like, I know people didn't really like hearing it during the season, but Dame wasn't shy telling people, like, you know, I didn't do my normal offseason. And I think so often, you know, that isn't the first time we've ever heard someone say, oh, you know, I was waiting for something to happen, so I wasn't working out. Typically, you hear that until July 1st, right?
Right.
You know, I didn't do anything until July 1st because I didn't want to get hurt and I want to make sure that I signed my $150 million contract, whatever it is. Dame was into September, man. Like, that's 2.5 more months of not doing the things that you do to prepare yourself for the season. And, I mean, just spending some time with him in Irvine last week for training camp, it's like, yeah, he was locked in over the summer. He looks great. He feels good. And I think, you know, there's the concern about him being an older, smaller guard and, you know, maybe the injuries are going to start to pile up or, you know, you're going to hit that steep decline. And I think after last season, some people are very worried about that. And I just think talking with him, such a big part of all of the nagging injuries he kind of dealt with. And I mean, throughout the year, it was, okay, there's an oblique, there's a groin, there's an Achilles, there's a hamstring, like all of those kind of soft tissue injuries. I just think so much of it was he didn't get to do his normal offseason work, and he was trying to catch up from behind. And when you do that, your muscles aren't going to be right, and it's not going to go the way that you want it to go. And I just think everyone's going to see such an improved Damian Lillard this season, where you're going to see him look more like the guy that left Portland, and the guy that played in Portland 2 years ago that was averaging 30 points a game. Like, I don't know if he can average 30 again just because of playing with Giannis and playing with Chris and playing with all those guys. But to me, the big thing from game one was like, yeah, that looks like Dame Lillard. And that, I think, is something that is fair for Bucks fans to get excited about.
How does the offense and defense change with Gary Trent Jr. there instead of Malik Beasley?
Offensively, I don't think much changes. I think Gary Trent Jr. is able to score a little bit more off the dribble and in isolation, which should help out some of the bench units. The bench units were a real struggle last year. So I think he can do a little bit more of that than Malik Beasley can. But for the most part, he's going to sit in the corners and he's going to shoot a bunch of threes. And if the past has been any indicator of the future, he is a Bucks shooting guard. So he's going to have a career season. That's just like how it goes, right? Like, you can go all the way back to Dante DiVincenzo, Dante, Grayson, Malik, just over and over and over again. You see guys having career years as shooters because of the open shots that you get when you play with Giannis and now when you play with Dame. So offensively, I don't think a whole lot. Defensively, I think it's going to be really interesting to see which Gary Trent shows up. I think there's been peaks and valleys in what he's been able to bring defensively to the table over the years. I think, you know, like, the very high point is going to be with the Portland Trailblazers when he's covering LeBron James in the bubble. And it's like, oh, that's really interesting from a young player, like, to be able to go toe-to-toe with him and, you know, have the strength to not get pushed around. And I think that's probably his biggest strength as a defender, is that he may be able to go up the ladder a little bit. I think where it's going to be more interesting is when he's asked to chase around shooting guards and point guards and kind of take on that point of attack defensive role. But then, you know, there's low points, right? Like, when, you know, the Raptors go up against Harden in the playoffs, like, Harden is giving him some fits, and he's struggling with that matchup a little bit. You think the last 2 years in Toronto, it got messy by the end of the Nick Nurse era. They were just doing everything in their power to force turnovers, and they weren't really playing good position defense. And I think a lot of guys had bad habits. And I think that can be some of the weaknesses, right? Like, Gary Trent Jr. is the guy that goes after steals, and that can work. We've seen it work with Dante DiVincenzo here in Milwaukee before. But if you are trying to play good position defense, sometimes you might take yourself out of position. So I think there is some upside there. I don't think it will be worse at the point, or at the shooting guard position at the point of attack, than it was last season. But just how much better it's going to be is, like, if you're circling things that can swing whether or not this is a very good Bucks team or a championship level Bucks team, that's one of the things, is like just how good Gary Trent Jr. can be defensively for the Bucks this season.
What about Taurean Prince? My thing is, and has been, and still is that you still don't have a guy that can block shots necessarily behind Brook Lopez. You have Brook, you have Giannis, that's fine. But there are going to be numerous times where neither one of those two are on the floor. Bobby Portis is clearly not that guy to play the five position and be a shot blocker. So that still is my concern. I know Taurean Prince is good defensively, but how does he impact what they do?
To me, the biggest way that I've been trying to explain it to people all year and all kind of off season is, like, you look at what Jay Crowder did last season, right? Jay Crowder plays in, I think, just over 50 games. He plays 1,100 minutes. Taurean Prince played 2,100 minutes last year. He played in 78 games. That is just a level of, no matter what you think of the production, that is a level of availability that Jay Crowder simply could not provide last season.
Agreed, yeah.
And that's what he's taking. That's the role he's taking. It's, you know, somewhere between 6 and 8 in the depth chart. And having that, I think, is just such an upgrade for them that I think from the outside, so many people watch the Lakers, so many people hear what people think of the Lakers, and I think Torian Prince got probably unfairly scapegoated last year. Darvin Ham probably played him a little bit too much and put him in some positions that made him look bad, but that's just a guy that's younger and better than Jay Crowder, and I think that's really big for the Bucks. One of the numbers that I keep talking to people about is, you know, the starting lineup was great, the big four together on the floor was great, but last year, when you look at lineups that featured Giannis and no Dame, they were not positive on the floor. And when you looked at lineups that featured Dame and no Giannis, they were not positive on the floor. And a large part of that was they just didn't get any production from their bench last year. And that, to me, is like, whether or not these are perfect players, whether or not these are guys that should start, when you look at bringing in Gary Trent, Torian Prince, and DeLon Wright, those three are better than Malik Beasley,
yep,
Jay Crowder, and Patrick Beverley.
Agreed.
And that is massive for a team that really struggled in the moments where they took just one or two of their starters off the floor. That cannot be overstated enough, just how much they struggled outside of that core group, because the core group was amazing. They had the starting lineup had the best plus minus of any lineup in the league that played more than 500 possessions. Any heavy usage lineup, they were the best in the league. Best in the league. That's how good they were at their peak. But when you went down the line in the depth chart last year, they really struggled. And I think that's the kind of underrated part of what they did this offseason.
Tom, Eric Name, Bucks beat writer for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Name. You've got a piece up right now on the defensive coordinator for the Milwaukee Bucks. And right now, Bucks fans are going, Sparky, you have the wrong sport. No, I don't. The defensive coordinator, he's the one running the defense, and it reminds me back in the day when Kevin O'Neill, the former Marquette coach, head coach, was like the defensive coordinator for different teams around the NBA. So talk about Greg Buckner and what he brings and what the differences we may see with this defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that's always fun about having a new coach in training camp is you get to learn kind of how that coach operates. And Doc Rivers comes in the middle of the season last year, and, you know, you got to kind of play catch-up, right? You're trying to figure out what's what. Last year, he had Rex Kalamian run the defense. Rex Kalamian, longtime assistant coach around the league. And in my head, I was like, oh, okay, you know, you probably got to delegate. No, this is a thing that Doc has done for years and years and years. You know, years ago, he went to an NFL training camp with John Gruden and was like, oh, coordinators. Okay, maybe I'll do that in basketball. And his first defensive coordinator in Boston was Tom Thibodeau.
Nice.
And that's how Tibbs kind of made his name as a coach around the league, was, you know, as Doc Rivers' defense coordinator. And that's something that he's kept, where either he'll do an offensive or a defensive coordinator. Most of the time he does a defensive coordinator. And this year he went out and got Greg Buckner. And if you don't know anything about Greg Buckner, 10-year career in the NBA, you know, starred at Clemson in the early 90s. Like, he's been around the game forever. Doc relayed a story that, you know, I wanted to get him in Philly, but him and J.B. Bickerstaff are best friends, and they've been kind of inseparable for the last decade. And if you look, you know, there's Greg Buckner on all of J.B. Bickerstaff's staffs over the last 10 years. And Doc claims that, you know, the day that the Cavaliers decided to let go of JB, like, he talked to JB and obviously wished him well, but then also immediately called Coach Buck, as everyone around the Bucks is calling him. It was just like, Buck, can you come to Milwaukee? Like, I think JB might get another job, but we'd love to have you in Milwaukee. And that was one of the first free agent targets that Doc Rivers really kind of sunk his teeth into this offseason, was getting Greg Buckner here. And a big part of it is, if you look at the success that the Cleveland Cavaliers have had defensively, it's based on Evan Mobley at power forward, Jared Allen at center. And if you look at what the Bucks have been able to do successfully over time here defensively in Milwaukee, it has been Giannis Antetokounmpo at power forward, who, all due respect to Evan Mobley, Giannis is a better defender than him, and Brook Lopez. And all due respect to Jared Allen, Brook Lopez is a better defender,
yep,
than him. So you have the kind of the upgraded version where, and in Cleveland, you have those same questions at the point of attack, right? Like, you have guys like Darius Garland, you have guys like Donovan Mitchell, And they've been looking for wings for years and years and years in Cleveland. They haven't had those strengths there. They just had those rim protectors, and that was the thing that Doc kind of circled that. He had success with a similar group of personnel in Cleveland. He might be able to do that here in Milwaukee.
Eric, I want to quickly, before we move on here, get your thoughts on this GM survey and on ESPN. And again, and I said it yesterday or the day before, whenever we talked about it, the fact of I don't even know who fills these things out. Like, I don't know if John Horst actually fills this out or if he gets it to Dan Smiechek or somebody else to fill out. I have no idea. So having said that, the Bucks, based on that, fifth in the Eastern Conference. I just don't see it, man. I figure they're at least going to be top three before this whole thing is said and done going into the playoffs.
I mean, I think the top of the East has gotten better. I think that's undeniable. And I think you look at the Knicks, you look at the Sixers, both those teams have gotten better this offseason. You look at the Pacers, you'd expect them to probably take another step this year. The Magic were good last year, you'll expect them to do the same. There's realistically maybe like six teams that might potentially win 50 games or at least have the upside to do so at the top of the Eastern Conference. And that's not something that we've said about the Eastern Conference in a long time. But the Bucks won 49 games last year and they had one of the worst coaches in the league for the first half of the season. I struggle to understand how this team is going to be worse than last season.
Thank you.
I just don't see it. And that doesn't mean they're going to, you know, rattle off 60 wins. But with the talent that they have, I think, one, this year they're going to do a better job managing everyone's minutes. You know, maybe we don't see Giannis racing out to play 73 of the first 76 games of the season. I don't think we'll see that this year. I think they'll be more careful with him. Damian Lillard, same way. They're not going to, you know, every night Griff was pushing so hard because he knew his job was on the line that those guys in their minutes got ran up early. So I'm not here to say, like, this is a 60-win team or anything like that, but I think there's enough competition in the East to keep pushing them and enough veterans on the team to, you know, manage and make sure they get through the season and get healthy into the playoffs that I just think, you know, I thought Doc had a great line on Media Day when I asked about the biggest challenge facing him this season. He said, you know, it's health, that we got to make sure we get through the season healthy, but we also want to dominate. We also want to be a great team. So I just think they're gonna push to get themselves in a place where they feel comfortable and confident in what they can do. And I think a big part of that is winning 50-plus games and getting in that 55-win kind of area.
I'm sorry, I could talk to you for 4 or 5 hours on the Bucks. I have one more. What is this Rajon Rondo thing all about?
I think Rondo, you know, getting to talk to him a little bit in Irvine last week, I think Rondo is trying to figure out what his next move is and if he wants to be a coach. And I do think when you kind of look at Rondo and when he came up, I think there's enough gravitas that he has that, you know, when he talks to Damian Lillard or he talks to Giannis, it's not like, okay, who is this guy? What? Okay, some guy you used to coach. It's like, oh, no, that's Rajon Rondo, and he can see the game. And I think that helped them. I really do. And I wouldn't say this unless I had, you know, talked to all those guys.
Right.
And literally heard them say, like, no, it was really good to have him around. I loved some of the stuff he said. You know, it felt like we maybe had some breakthroughs with some of the things that he said. And I think he was genuinely helpful. The staff is massive already. I don't know if there's another spot still to fill up there.
Eric, is he focused more on defense with Buckner? What is he helping with?
To me, I think it was like the management of Giannis and Dame and how all of that works. And, you know, like I wrote in my story last week from Irvine, like, you know, there's this moment where Brooke grabs a rebound, Giannis and Dame both run back for the ball, and Rondo just goes nuts, starts yelling at Giannis, like, run, bleeping run, get up the floor, like, go. And I think one of those things that they have to continue to figure out is, like, all right, when does Dame bring the ball up? When does Giannis bring the ball up? How does this all work? And that is something that they just simply didn't get through last year, and that's partly because Griff was, not doing a good job addressing it. And then when Doc came through, everyone was injured, so he couldn't actually address it. Like, I think a lot of that is kind of what they're looking at. So I don't think Rondo's there, you know, for the defensive part of it. To me, it was more, let's help out the offense. And Rondo knows better than anyone else kind of how to manage people's egos. Like, he had the whole big three to manage when he was in Boston, as well as himself. And to me, that was the biggest thing with having him around.
And Perkins.
Yeah, and Perkins.
Sure.
Let's not forget about Kendrick freaking Perkins. Yes. Eric Name, Milwaukee Bucks beat writer for The Athletic. Eric, thank you so much. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Name. You will love all of his stuff. Subscribe to The Athletic and help a brother out. Eric, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Spark.
Take care. There he is, Eric Name.